welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, I've told Linda about her, but I don't think I've told you about Janet. That's the idea. I was in love with Janet in grade five. I'm telling you that Janet was the prettiest girl in the entire school. When she laughed, her nose crinkled. It was just so wonderful to watch that. And as far as I was concerned, in grade five, one day, Janet and I were going to be married. As it happened in grade five, it was around the Christmas season, and so I was pretty excited and pretty sure that I needed to give Janet a gift. The problem was is that I made a meager 35 cents a week in my allowance, and so I really couldn't afford anything significant for her. But I knew that a guy properly would give a gift of jewelry to his girl. And so I wondered what to do. So the only person that I shared this with, this budding relationship with, was my sister. And she was a few years older than I was, and she was kind enough to give me a piece of jewelry so I could give it to Janet. It was beautiful. It was kind of a gold medal. It had four green stones on it that were made of the finest plastic. Actually, three fine green stones, because one of them had fallen off. But I knew that when I gave that to Janet, she wouldn't worry about the missing stones. She would just receive this wonderful gift. I can't exactly remember why it occurred, but I decided that I was going to give her the gift in person, not at school around my chums, but personally at her home. It just felt better to do that, to deliver it in person. And so we were just coming on to Christmas holidays. I had to get it to her before Christmas time. And so the day that I selected was the only day that I could go, and it happened to be a blizzard. This was in Dawson Creek, B.C., and if you've ever been up in that country, you know that when it's cold, and blizzards are nasty. We remember minus 60-degree weather, and it was like that. But nothing was going to stand between me and my gift and my girl. I was going to make it, so I didn't tell anybody that I was going, and I made my way over to Janet's house. Janet was quite a distance away. She lived quite a distance away from where we lived. And I trudged through the blizzard, this little grade 5-year-old with his gift for his girl. But all the way along, I'm thinking about this gift that I'm going to give her and how that is just going to revolutionize our relationship in grade 5. I was so excited to give her the gift. And I trudged through the snow and the wind and all of that stuff, and I got to her street, and I remember walking up the cement stairs to her house, and I banged on the door, and she opened it up, and there she was, Janet. And it was so wonderful, because as soon as she saw me, she smiled, and that little nose, it crinkled. It was everything I hoped for. And so I reached in my pocket, because I had put the gift very carefully in my pocket, had wrapped it up in beautiful Kleenex, and I gave it to her. And she took it in her hands, and she looked at it, she opened it up, and she said, "Thanks." And then she closed the door. And it didn't really matter that she didn't invite me in. It didn't really matter, because I had given her the gift. And it didn't really matter that I had a long way home after that in the blizzard. It didn't really matter that that was the very first and only time I've ever experienced frostbite. It didn't really matter that I had to go through a very painful thawing out process at home. What mattered was is that I was able to give her a gift. And it just made me feel so good inside. And I just knew somehow it meant something to her. Well, the relationship lasted all of about 2 weeks after the Christmas holidays. But, you know, it wasn't the fact that she didn't invite me in or nothing like that didn't end it. What I remember, and I continue to remember to this day, is the gift. I just remember that excitement in giving her the gift. It was, my heart was expressed through the gift. And her nose crinkled because of the gift. It's all I needed. It's all I needed. And God knew that one day I would meet Linda, and that is where I was supposed to be. I think this is true, that when we care about someone, giving something in response is a natural expression. When we care for someone, giving something in response is just a natural expression. It just comes from the inside. So like Luke said this morning, we're going to be talking about the gift we give as the second part of our gift series. But before we start, I just want to make it really clear that when we talk about gifts, when I'm talking about the gifts, I'm not talking about presents. I'm not talking about presents at Christmas time. I'm not talking about presents through the year. I'm talking really about the gift that we give, and it takes many forms. It takes many forms, and ultimately, as we will discover today, it really is about giving ourselves to others. So that's our definition of gift, giving ourselves to others. Well, you know, you can't speak of gifts and Jesus in the season without thinking about the wise men or the magi, as they've also been called. Luke talked a little bit about them last Sunday night. And if you haven't heard that message that Luke spoke last Sunday night, you really do need to go to the podcast and listen to it, because it was awesome. It was about the characters of Christmas, and he talked about the Magi. But as I say, not a lot is known about the Magi. They came from an area potentially to the east, which was maybe in Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. That's probably where they came from. Their roots may have gone back to the Jews who had remained in Babylon after the exile, which is described in the Old Testament. And it is likely by profession they were kind of a mix or a blend between an astrologer and astronomer. They were really kind of considered the scientists of the day. But one thing that we know for certain about these wise men is that they knew who the Messiah was. They had studied ancient prophetic writings that spoke of his birth and of a star that would rise and announce his arrival. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is what it says. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And it says about that time, and let me just qualify about that time, what that means. I know that often in our Christmas traditions, we have the wise men in the stable, you know, with the shepherds and the sheep looking at Jesus. They weren't actually there at that point. They probably visited Jesus about a year or two later, just so we're clear on that. So it says, about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Well, while we think of their first gifts that they gave Jesus being frankincense, gold, and the myrrh, I think that the first and most important gift that they gave is described in verse 2 in that passage, and that was the gift of their heart to Jesus. The tangible gifts followed their desire to worship the newborn King of the Jews, who had leapt from the pages of ancient prophecy to live and breathe as flesh and blood, and he was before them, and they knew who he was. This expression of worship, this gift giving, was so important to the wise men that they were prepared to travel for literally thousands of kilometers to get to the Christ child. You see, something was brewing, something major was brewing in the inside, deep inside of them. And they knew that this difficult journey that they would make was going to be worth it, as they found and they worshiped the baby who somehow carried the promise to change the world. It's just hard to imagine their delight as the star led them directly. The star was like an ancient GPS system. Leads them directly to Bethlehem, to the birthplace of the king. This is what it says in verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The giving of gifts. First, their hearts as they bowed and they worshiped Jesus the King. And then the giving of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Natural responses. Natural responses. Things that happen when you come before the King. So no matter what they had faced along the way, whether it was a blizzard, whether it was the potential of meeting robbers along the way, whatever it was, these wise men now treasured the opportunity to give gifts in light of the extravagant gift of the Messiah who had come into a broken world. You see, from the beginning, God, the Father's gift of his Son Jesus, was meant to encourage us to consider what our own gift would be in response to his coming. Never a requirement, because real gifts are never required, but to consider the potential of a loving response. A loving response that would kind of naturally rise up in us after our own kind of Bethlehem journey and the introduction to the living truth of the Messiah before us. For me, my Bethlehem journey, if you will, started when I was 17. I knew God. I prayed to the Lord, but I really didn't know who Jesus was personally. I had never really discovered the truth of what a relationship with Jesus was all about. I never really understood the significance of the Christmas story that we celebrate at this time of year, never mind what happened at Easter. I didn't really understand what that was all about. As part of my own Bethlehem journey story, I was drawn to a Christian community, to a church. And over time, the story of Jesus being born in a stable and all of the angels that were around and all of that, it began to make sense. I began to realize who this was who broke into a dark world. He was God's Son. He was sent to live among us. God taking on flesh, this amazing incarnation. I learned that not only did Jesus come to teach us good things, because he taught us many good things on this planet, but the crux of his mission that ended on the cross and culminated in his resurrection, that was very much about me. It was very much about taking care of my mess, the stuff that came between me and a full-on relationship with God. I was learning on my own Bethlehem journey that Christmas was actually all about getting to Easter, when Jesus took my sin with him to the cross and removed the barriers between heaven and me. And so for me, when confronted with the living truth of the Messiah before me, it was just like that. My response was to give the gift of my heart, to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. See, like the wise men, when faced with the reality of the one who came to save us, the first and the best gift that we can give is the gift of our hearts, the acknowledgement of Jesus as King, followed by the gift of worship that is just a natural outflow of a thankful heart, recognizing all that Jesus has done for us. I don't know, but maybe you're here and you are in that place where I was when I was 17, on that journey, that kind of Bethlehem journey. You're kind of in a search mode. And I know that when I accepted Jesus, it was in a place just like this, very similar in the sense of Christian community together. And I was given the opportunity to accept Christ as the Lord of my life. So if you are here today and you are on that journey and you are like I was when I was 17 and not in that place of a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to take that step. I want to encourage you to take that step today. If you're ready, you're here for a reason. I'm going to encourage you to pray a simple prayer and to ask Jesus to become your King and your Savior, just like I did, and acknowledge the brokenness of your life and the sin that is there, and ask for His forgiveness, and ask Him to bring that new life through Him into yourself. It's the first and it's the best gift that we can give. And I can't talk about more gifts until I talk about that one. We're not about pressuring anybody to do anything. What I've just said is for you and is extended as an invitation. But I do want to pause here and just have a quiet moment where if that speaks to your heart and you are in the place where you would like to accept Jesus as your Savior, I'm just going to encourage you to pray that prayer that I just talked about, and then we're going to carry on. But I want to make sure that we have that moment. So let's just bow our heads and just pray. I want you to know that if you've prayed that prayer this morning, something real and significant has begun to happen in your life. It's the transformation that comes when we meet with Jesus. And I would encourage you that if you prayed that prayer today, to talk with somebody that is with you today, or one of us on the team. We would be more than happy to talk to you about that most important decision that you will ever make in your life. So we would be happy to do that. I read this statement the other day, and it said this: real love is the gift of ourselves to one another. Real love is the gift of ourselves to one another. I like its sentiment, and it really sort of helps me kind of move into this second part of the message this morning about the gift we give. See, there are some very cool things that happen when the gift we are given, which is Jesus, connects with the gift that we give, which is our hearts to Him. What happens is transformation, and next week Luke is going to talk even more about that. But it's a transformation that helps us to move from ourselves, from being the center of our own universe, to instead living for the one who created the universe. And because we live for Him, we are inspired to give as He gave to us and continues to give to us. The types of gifts are as broad and as diverse as this community is in terms of the ones that we are able to give. Some gifts are about service. Others are about encouragement. Others are about finances. Others are about compassion. And other gifts are about the leadership. The Bible gives us some pretty specific ideas about those gifts that are placed in us. The fact of the matter is that there is a huge pool of gifts given to this community so that we might give it to others. And no believer is exempt from possessing one of those gifts or a variety of those gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, "In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." Later on in 1 Peter, it talks about the fact that we all have been given those gifts. And so when we talk about the gifts that we give, we need to consider what it is that the Bible says about them. We see that these gifts are expressed throughout this community, and it's an awesome thing to see. Through our recent network course and through leadership development things that we're doing, we see others that are beginning to discover the gifts that God has given them and beginning to put them into practice, and it's awesome. This is all about the value that we have here at Living Waters, about recognizing and releasing the gifts that are among us. Here's the thing. The key to a healthy, vital body is the extension of the gifts one to the other. And that is how the church has been designed to function, as we all function together, as we all give to one another, and we give outside of these walls. That's what it's about. That's what brings us to health. And that's a whole other message that some point in the next year we're going to talk about. But what I want to finish up with this morning is with three principles of gift giving that I think were established and really shown to us well by the wise men. These principles really, I see, emerge from their story. These are three principles of gift giving that when they're modeled well by us as believers, I believe have a significant impact not only on us as a community, but outside of these walls, those that we are to reach. Well, let me just begin with them and go through. The first one is the principle of sacrificial giving. You know, the best gifts that we give cost something. It's true. The best gifts that we give cost something. The fact is, the more we sacrifice to give, the greater and more meaningful the gift becomes, not just to the receiver, but to us, because we're giving up something that's important to us in order to help someone else. The value of what the wise men gave was not just found in those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but it was about the degree of personal sacrifice that it took to get to their destination. The sacrifice was for them was about dropping out of these very comfortable lives that they had, because the thought is they had lots of money, giving a lot of that up, that comfort of those homes, and traveling for thousands of kilometers through deserts and tough places to get to that place where they could worship the King. That was incredible sacrifice for them. Sacrificial giving is about giving up on the center stage, properly giving up valuable time and resources, our own leisure, desires, and wants. It's about doing all of that so we can better love one another. It's about giving without demanding or expecting anything in return. Sacrificial giving is the very picture of what Jesus did for us, and it speaks volumes to those who are around us. I think we all saw that picture of the New York City policeman just a couple of weeks ago, who came along a fellow who was homeless, and he didn't have shoes and socks, and he went into a store and he bought him new boots. And that was a picture that went viral. It was international, and it celebrated giving. It celebrated sacrificial giving. He went in and he didn't do that with any expectation of a photographer taking a picture. It was all about his heart to give. The second principle that I want to talk about is the principle of generous giving. Now, the wise men gave generously, not only in the sacrifice of their efforts to get there, but also in the quality of their gifts, in the quality of the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. They were of the finest value, and each of those items was chosen because it was fitting to give to a king. Well, could they have held back a little? Well, I suppose they could have. They could have stopped by Toys R Us and picked up a couple of expensive or inexpensive plushy toys. They could have done that, but they didn't, because that's not what a generous heart is about. It speaks of more than that. It speaks of giving with an open hand. It speaks of giving well, and it speaks of giving our best. And nowhere is the principle of generosity more evident than the gift given to us in Bethlehem in a stable 2,000 years ago. What a generous gift God gave to us in his only begotten Son. The third principle is the principle of meaningful giving. Meaningful giving. A gift is made meaningful, I think, when it helps another navigate life well. You know, there's an interesting speculation about the wise men's gifts, and that is that they may very well have been sold by Mary and Joseph to help finance the family's escape from King Herod into Egypt. Now, we don't know if that's speculation. We don't know if that's true or not. But I think the thought illustrates the principle well. The gifts we give find their greatest meaning and potential when they help others to live their lives well. I see those meaningful gifts given here all of the time. In fact, I saw it last Sunday when we had our kids' production here. And I saw meaningful gifts given as teachers had invested time and effort into our children. I saw that in the level of the production and in the joy of their kids. I see people within our community caring quietly for others, bringing over meals, praying for one another, helping people navigate through tough times. These are meaningful gifts. These are meaningful gifts. They're investments in the life and the future of others. Of course, Jesus gave meaningfully. He gave meaningfully when he touched blind eyes so they could see. He gave meaningfully when he mended limbs so men could walk. And he gave gifts of food so people wouldn't be hungry. And he helps us navigate our life today. A meaningful gift. Through the gift of his Holy Spirit. So in these principles, may we see them established in our own lives as individuals and as a community gathered here together. Before we finish today, we thought that we would do this under this banner of this series called Gift, and particularly it fits today as we talk about the gift that we give. I want to share some particulars with you this morning about some of the gifts that this community has given. And my hope in sharing this information with you is first to encourage you, because these are good giving stories. These are good stories, and I hope we are all going to be encouraged. Secondly, I'm going to share these things because I want to remind us all what is possible through the body of Christ when we give sacrificially, when we give generously, and when we give meaningfully. And the third thing that I want to say about this is that as I talk to you about these good stories, the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes to none of us in terms of individuals. This is all for the glory of God, and that's very important. Listen, we were absolutely blown away this year by the generosity of this community as you responded in helping to build hampers for a number of families within our community that could use them. In fact, a total of 9 adults and 14 kids representing 8 families in this community have been helped this season. It was awesome to see all of the gifts coming into those hampers. And then this week, as they were packed, it was such a cool thing to see. I think we have a picture of them right up there. That's just 3 of the baskets. There were many others. Thank you for your good giving. That is a blessing to these families. And I know that they appreciate it very much. That same kind of sacrificial giving and generous giving happened as you've been giving gifts of toys to the Christmas Bureau. Our team's already made several trips to the Christmas Bureau to drop off those toys. We've been doing that regularly because they keep on growing here, and that is so cool. And this morning, I'm pleased to tell you that for the 3rd year in a row, we have also decided to support the Christmas Bureau with a gift of $5,000 from this community. Lynn and I had the opportunity to just drop that off 3 weeks ago because it was important that they had it early on in the season. We're talking about a bureau that is blown away by the generosity of this church. In fact, the other day when somebody was dropping off some gifts, they said, "Oh, where is that from?" They said, "Well, from Living Waters." And they said, "Well, yeah, but you already gave." And then they said, "Well, there's more coming, actually, because we've got some more things to drop off." Generosity, it's a good thing. You know that we've been longtime supporters of the Langley Food Bank and the good work that is done there. And non-perishable food items have just been coming in. Same thing, we've been delivering them to the food bank. And this week we'll also be sending them a check for $5,000 to bless the work of the food bank and what they do. And remember, as we give, we're giving generously, and we also want to give of our hearts to pray for these organizations as well as they touch the needs of others. We're doing the same thing with the Gateway of Hope. You know, we have volunteer teams that go in on Saturdays, and we work in the kitchen, and others that do different things, bread deliveries and all sorts of cool things. The Gateway of Hope is a place, you know, that is just touching and reaching the lives of broken people every day, 24/7. And so this week, we're also sending them a check for $5,000. We want to bless good work that's happening in this community. You see what we can do as a community together? It's an amazing thing. We also, a couple of weeks ago, sent our 13 global workers a gift of $1,000 each. This is something we've done before, and we continue to want to do that because these are the guys that are on the front lines. They are in difficult places. We pray for them, and we send them cards, and we do all of that, but we also want to help them tangibly. And so we sent a little note to them a couple of weeks ago just to let them know that that's what's happened. I want to just give you quickly a couple of their responses. This comes from Rebecca and Aaron, who we prayed for just a few weeks ago, who now have arrived in their destination in a restricted access nation. Can't tell you where they're at, but they said this: "Once again, our Living Waters family has blessed us, and we are truly honored. Please pass along a big thank you. We are so grateful for the relationship that we have with LWC. Christo and Sarah are in Chennai, India, and they write this: "What a wonderful blessing for us once again. This has been such a needy time, so truly this is a godsend. We are really so blessed by the Living Waters family in so many ways. Thank you once again. Please give our deepest love and thanks to everyone." This is from Mark Foreman. "Warm greetings from Nairobi. I hardly know what to say except thank you. Living Waters has been so gracious to me with such support. It is an amazing gift to me as I begin to wind down my time here in Africa." She is preparing to come back to live in Canada after many years in Africa. And this is what she said: "One of the things I wanted to do was revisit some of the places on the continent before I return to Canada, and this will help me to do it for sure." If you know Mark Foreman, you know how important that is, that she is able to go visit the places that she and her husband, Gary, used to minister to. The chances are this will be the last time she'll have an opportunity to go there, and this community has helped her to get there. And God knew that need, and so we were able to answer that need. And a final bit of good giving news. If you've been here for a while, you know that every year we endeavor to support a water project somewhere in the world, because we know that fresh and clean water transforms and saves lives. So we've helped already in 3 water projects. We've done 2 in Africa, one in Zimbabwe and the other in Burkina Faso. And then last year, we helped with a well development in India and a sewage treatment system there. And so with your help, we're going to be doing a 4th project this year, and it's for a community and school in Tanzania. And so Jeremy Fazer is the global worker who is in that community and is helping pull it together on the ground, and we thought that we would just let Jeremy kind of give you a sense of what it is that we're going to be involved in our giving. So let's watch.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Fazer, and this is Maliaki Shaushi, and we're at the Ngata English Medium Primary School just outside of Orbili. Now, this school, as you can see, is in a very dry place, and there is access to water. About 3 or 4 kilometers that way is the Ruvu River, but the water is dirty, and there's other problems as well.
The big problem is crocodile. There's crocodile in our river, and many times they kill the kids when they go to fetch water.
So we don't want to lose any school kids to crocodiles, that's for sure. So we've had a hydrogeologist out here. Just over that way is a site where they say we can get water. And what we want to do is we want to dig a well here and get clean, fresh drinking water to help the school move forward.
My name is Maliaki Shaushi. We are here in Olerumo village. Here we are just digging water from the under the ground, and because here we have got no source of water here, so we have to dig inside the ground and try to have water for our cows and family. We can use for just one day, then we dig again, we use for another day, and then so always we keep digging. Not very clean. But it's just water, so if we get, if not clean, still we use it because we have no way.
So you see, the $10,000 that we will be sending before the end of this year is going to bring them a new well. It's going to bring them fresh water. It's going to serve a community, and it is going to serve a school. This is the gift that we give. It's a gift of generosity. It may mean for us that we need to sacrifice in order to give that gift, but it is a meaningful gift because it brings life and it impacts the lives of others. That's what the gift that we give is all about, and it is a reflection of the gift that we have received from Jesus Christ. Why don't you stand, everybody? We're going to pray. Father, you are the giver of gifts. You've given us Jesus, your Son, and that has changed our lives forever. And today, Lord, we are just reminded of the responsibility that you've given each of us as believers to give of the gifts that are within us, that you have given within this body, gifts to give so that others' lives may be changed through relationship, whether we give financially for wells or whatever it happens to be, God, that we would be also good givers. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in all of that. Our desire as we move into a new year is to be a generous people. Our desire is to be a people willing to sacrifice, a people, oh God, that understand what it means to give a meaningful gift. Let me just leave you with this benediction from Jude. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, and power and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Enjoy this Sunday. We'll see you this coming Sunday as we finish up our series, and Luke is going to be speaking.